Good afternoon and welcome to the Victory Lane podcast. I have with me today Brad Ballas, who's one of the founding members of the Corinthian Vintage Auto Racing Club in Texas, probably better known as CVAR. And this weekend is a big event down there. It's the Brad Ballas School and Race. So we're going to get Brad to tell us why they named a race after him when he's still a living legend, and maybe get a little more information about CVAR. Good afternoon and welcome, Brad.
Oh, it's great to be here, Kelly. How can I help you?
Well, why don't you give us the lowdown on the Brad Ballas event and what's going on? Why is it exciting? And why we should all be there instead of wherever we are?
So the question is, how do you get an event named after you? My philosophy is, if you live long enough and hang around long enough and make yourself a pain in the butt, they'll name something after you. As the founder and first president of CVAR, I was member 001, and then pulled this thing out of the ground back in 1987, when I was transferred to Dallas from Los Angeles, and I hauled my racing fleet with me. I soon learned when I got here that there was no vintage racing, even though some of the world's most famous race drivers were from Texas. So I set about to develop a vintage racing club, and it took about 3 years to get it actually up out of the ground and to become a respectable representative in the vintage racing world. We started with 13 members, had a show at a local car emporium, and got some publicity. And our first event was in Weatherford, Texas, at an old helicopter training base, and we had 13 people show up. And that was the start. We didn't have enough bulk to rent a track. We had no money at all, period. We were just flat penniless. The local SCCA did have a small element of radicals in it that were promoting the development of a vintage racing class. And after a while, they prevailed. And the North Texas region SCCA gave us a race. So that's where it started, and the word went out, and of course, all of us at one point or another went through the SCCA, no matter where you were in the country, if you wanted to race. So people started getting interested in pulling their cars out of barns and uncovering them in their garages, and all of a sudden, we had almost 40 cars, and we charged $100 to participate, but we didn't have enough bulk to rent a track for a weekend. So we set about having a string of one-day races, which were quite successful. And one of the reasons why they were successful financially is that we encouraged SCCA guys with newer cars to come and test and tune, and we gave them their own race. And we would have, after a while, 20, 30 cars show up, and that financially took us over the top and allowed us to start retaining some funds. And after about 3 years, we actually had enough entries to rent a track for the whole weekend. And when we hit 60 entries, I think that we considered the reality that we had arrived, and that Dan Davis at Victory Lane, a Texan, was fully supportive of our efforts. And he started giving us a lot of press. And we got more press as a little club than any other of the 28 organizations around the country. And we needed it. It was a double-edged sword regarding recruiting, in that Texas was so far away from any of the other clubs that we didn't have any rating, quote unquote, other companies coming in putting on races. And at the same time, that isolation kind of hurt our growth. Eventually, we did pull some people out of Oklahoma and Louisiana. And that is still a business reality of today. We are isolated. We certainly are not the largest club. This weekend is the second largest entry that Corinthian has had in its 30-year history, with over 160 entries. The largest entry level we had was at the old Texas World Speedway down in College Station when they announced that the track was closing. And at Corinthian's last event, we had 240 cars come out of nowhere, which shocked everyone. So that's kind of the reality of it. There's a lot of subtleties in the first 3 years of how we went about recruiting people. And I had to go out and find SCCA guys that were racing in the late 1950s and early 60s. And a lot of them lived in Dallas, so I started hanging out in taverns and bars with my vintage racing gear on and recruiting people, and it worked, including getting such celebrities as Delmo Johnson out of retirement and Homer Raider, who was one of America's first, and few Formula One racers, and Charlie Barnes. Just to name a few of them. Unfortunately, none of those guys are with us, and J.C. Kilburn would be included in that group, and unfortunately, they're all in the, up at the big racetrack in the sky, looking down, laughing at us. So anyway, that's it, kind of in a nutshell, how it got started, and it grew, and here we are.
And now we have an event named after you. So what is this event, the Brad Ballas Shindig?
Well, it's a 3-day event, starting entry in the track on Wednesday afternoon, going through Sunday night. It's at the great new Eagles Canyon facility that's continuing to be improved as money becomes available, and they just installed a brand new surface and facilities, as I said earlier on, if you live long enough and you hang around, they'll name something after you. And so it's let me see, how many groups are there? Six or seven groups of various types of race cars, both open wheel and closed wheel. Cutoff line is about, I think, 1980. It may be a little bit beyond that now. You know, as time marches on, race cars do become obsolete, and people do drop out of the club but for a variety of reasons, mostly age. So you have to supplement with, you know, newer groups and younger people.
Yeah.
So that kind of sums it up, what the weekend's all about.
Driving participation, getting some new people involved, and probably having a bit of a party as well.
Well, unfortunately, with the C-19 about, there's no partying. A lot of camaraderie. I have not been out at the track yet. I'm going tomorrow morning, but I'm getting reports that the place is overflowing with people and exciting new cars. There are no amenities, so to speak. No food, no parties, no bands. Just interested, enthusiastic club members and their families.
Got it.
Personally, I prefer the party part.
Huh, that shall remain a secret. Are you going to be participating? Are you taking the red sled of death out there to make a few laps around the...
No,
the track?
I will not be suiting up. Maybe later on in the year when things calm down. And they have time to get all the bugs out of the red sled, which means testing and tuning and that kind of stuff. So no, I'm not a player.
Got it.
Although if you are a player, it's somewhat reasonable to participate. So I think it's a $400 entry fee for the 3 days.
Wow, that's pretty good.
But as everybody knows, that's just the beginning. And when you throw in new tires and fuel and travel time and hotels, food, entertainment opportunities, the amount of investment does go up.
Yeah, right. You could spend as much on gasoline as the entry fee, especially if you had to tow from somewhere, since yes, Texas is not Connecticut, right?
No.
So what else? I mean, are you actively involved?
I am a cheerleader. Once the organization was up and running and had cash in the bank and could afford to rent a track and the infrastructure was put in place, by that I mean the administration of a company, these people call these entities clubs. Well, there may be a club from a tax perspective, but in reality, it's a company. And you have to build two aspects of the company. You have to build the administration and the management, which is significant. And then you have to build the on-track operations management, the actual race management. And they are two separate worlds. And we were blessed here in Texas that we had outstanding, absolutely outstanding field track operations management for years. And I never had to worry about it. These people had my back. And they liked me because I started paying them $100 a weekend and giving them free food, which the SCCA did nothing for them. So if there were ever a conflict between we were doing something on the same weekend, they would all come and work for me. So I kind of started the club on the premise of, let's get out from underneath the SCCA's thumb. And let's get out from under the bureaucracy. So our war cry was less bureaucracy, more track time. And we did it. Now, with regulations and track rules and insurance obligations, the bureaucracy is pretty thick. It isn't like it used to be. And of course, the men and women that we started with 30 years ago are all gone. And now you have a second generation of field operations people. And in some cases, it's down on the learning curve. You have to watch what's going on because they're doing their best to catch up to a level of expertise that their forefathers performed at. So we got a bunch of young, energetic, enthusiastic people who would sometimes need a lot of guidance. But my involvement is I'm a cheerleader. There is an unwritten rule that once a president steps down and you drive out the front gate of the track, you don't look back and they don't call you unless it's something really technical. So you keep your nose. I keep my nose out of what the present board of directors and new president is doing.
Right. Well, there's no way to make yourself less welcome than to be sort of the irritating uncle who shows up with advice for everybody, right?
That's right. You stay out of their business.
Plus, you get a race named after you and hopefully a little bit of respect around the paddock or something like that.
I do have to go around and introduce myself. young guys have no idea who I am.
Right.
Or what I was. That was then. That's eight. And I'm ancient history. You know, and I enjoy the memory and the some recognition Every once in a while, somebody will say something, but it's well received, believe me. But yes, I do not get involved in their business.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you got a lot to keep you busy down there. My understanding is, like, what do you have, like 500 or 600 junk cars in various states of disassembly on the property? And
I don't have cars. I have piles.
Piles.
I have piles. And I understand that Victory Lane is sending a NASCAR down here and a 1958-59 Elva Mark I that we're going to put back together and get on the track. And the intent of sending the NASCAR is to get that ready for next year's Brian Redman experience at Road America. It'll be the Victory Lane entry.
Well, you got me there. I'm in the mushroom brigade here, and they only let the sunshine in when something is on a necessary basis. So Dan's secret plans. I do know about the Elva. I think that's going to take a bit of work there.
We're not afraid of projects.
There we go.
All right. Listen, I got to go.
All right, Brad.
So good to chat with you.
Yes.
Start talking to Dan about organizing a NASCAR tent for next July.
There we go.
All right. Good to talk to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brad. Take care. Bye-bye.